الحمد لله على هذه المنة.
All praise belongs to Allah for this blessing.
وتوالي النعمة.
And the continuation of gifts.
وسنته إذا جاد أن يعظم جوده ويستمر.
And the way of Allah is that when He gives generously, He continues to give.
ومن يصدق مع الله ينتصر.
And whoever is true with Allah, they will be victorious.
ولقد تأملنا سمات أهل الصدق مع الله تعالى من خواص أهل البر.
And we reflected upon some of the traits of the people of trueness with Allah and the people of piety.
وذكرنا السمة الأولى سمة العلم والسمة الثانية سمة الاهتمام بالقلوب.
And we mentioned that the first trait is the trait of knowledge and that the second trait is the concern with the state of the hearts.
ويتكلم على سمة ثالثة وهي وإن كانت من صفات القلوب لكن مجالها فسيح وميزانها رجيح فخصها بالذكر.
And then the author mentions the trait of sincerity. And even though we mentioned some aspects of sincerity before, it is a very vast trait and virtue and very important.
فقال السمة الثالثة الإخلاص.
So the author said the third trait is sincerity.
ومن أخلص لله 40 يوما تفجرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه.
And whoever is sincere with Allah for 40 days, the fountain of wisdom pours forth from their heart and becomes apparent on their tongue.
فلأهل التصوف شغل قوي بتحقيق الإخلاص.
So the people of tasawwuf have a strong concern and focus on attaining sincerity.
وتقويته والارتقاء في مراقيه.
And strengthening sincerity and ascending in its degrees.
بل فقد عظمت عنايتهم بتحقيق الإخلاص لله تعالى.
So the author said their concern for the realization of sincerity, ikhlas for Allah the Exalted, was immense.
ودققوا في محاسبة أنفسهم على ذلك.
And they were meticulous in scrutinizing themselves for this quality.
وفروا من أدنى قصد لغير الله.
They would flee from the smallest endeavor that was for other than Allah.
ومن أدنى إرادة لغير وجه الكريم.
And from the slightest desire that was for other than His noble countenance.
في جميع نياتهم.
In all of their intentions.
وأفعالهم.
And their actions.
وأقوالهم.
And their words.
وأخذهم وتركهم.
And in their taking and refraining.
قال الله تعالى ألا لله الدين الخالص.
Allah the Exalted says, the sincere and true religion belongs to Allah alone.
وفي الحديث يقول صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم من أعطى لله ومنع لله وأحب لله وأبغض لله فقد استكمل حقيقة الإيمان.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, whoever gives for Allah and refrains for Allah and loves for Allah and hates something for Allah, then that person has been sincere in the entirety of iman.
وذكروا أن بعض الكفار في قتاله لسيدنا علي بن أبي طالب استمر يقاتله مدة فحتى أضجعه سيدنا علي على الأرض وهوى بالسيف عليه فبصق في وجه سيدنا علي فرد السيف وقام وتركه فقيل كيف تركته وقد تمكنت منه قال كنت أقاتله لله فلما بصق في وجهي غضبت نفسي وأرادت أن أضربه لها وأنا لا أضرب بسيفي إلا في سبيل الله.
And سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه, he was once fighting against one of the disbelievers, and they were fighting for a while until it got to the point that Sayyidina Ali had the enemy on his knees and he raised his sword to finish him. And then that man spit in the face of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, so he withdrew. And then they said, why did you withdraw from him after you were about to give the fatal blow? And he said, when the man spit in my face, I became angry, for I was fighting initially for Allah, but when he spit in my face, I became angry for myself, and my sword does not strike for anything other than Allah.
وكان يحمل السيف المسمى ذو الفقار.
And he would carry the sword that is known as ذو الفقار.
وكان قد استلمه من يد النبي المختار.
And he received it from the hand of the chosen one.
فقام بحقه.
And he fulfilled its due right.
فلم يضرب به إلا لله.
So he only struck with it for Allah.
ما أعجب انتباههم لأنفسهم في مثل هذا الموقف الشديد الصعب الذي لا يتذكر الإنسان فيه.
How amazing is the degree of their attention to this quality even in this extremely difficult situation.
لكنهم قوم خلص لله.
But they are a people that have become purely for Allah.
فهم القوم الذين هدوا.
They are the people who have been guided.
وبفضل الله قد سعدوا.
And by the grace of Allah, they have become felicitous.
ولغير الله ما قصدوا.
And they have no goal or aim
ولغير
other than Allah.
الله ما قصدوا.
And they have no aim for other than Allah.
ولغير الله ما قصدوا.
And they have no aim for other than Allah.
ومع القرآن في قرني.
And that they are connected always to the
ربي
Quran.
فانفعنا ببركتهم.
So our Lord benefit us by their blessing.
وهدنا الحسنى بحرمتهم.
And guide us to what is right by their inviolability. And allow us to die on their path. And protect it from all tribulations.
وقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات رواه البخاري ومسلم وعامة أصحاب السنن.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said actions are according to intentions. That's narrated by Imam Bukhari and Muslim and the generality of the books of Sunnah.
قال الحارث المحاسبي رضي الله عنه في رسالة المسترشدين واعلم رحمك الله أن الصدق والإخلاص أصل كل حال.
And Imam Al-Harith Al-Muhasibi said in his book Risalat Al-Mustarshidin, the treaties for the seekers of guidance, know, may Allah have mercy on you, that trueness, sidq, and sincerity are the foundations of every spiritual state.
قال فمن الصدق يتشعب الصبر.
It is from trueness that patience, sabr, comes forth.
والقناعة.
And satisfaction.
والزهد.
And detachment.
والرضا.
And contentment.
والأنس.
And intimacy.
وعن الإخلاص يتشعب اليقين.
And it is from sincerity that certainty branches out.
والخوف.
And fear.
والمحبة.
And love.
والحياء.
And modesty.
والإجلال والتعظيم.
Veneration and reverence.
والرياء له والصادق لا عجب له.
And the person who has ikhlas, sincerity, has no ostentation, and the person who has trueness does not have vanity or ujub.
ثم قال وأما شعب الإخلاص فلا يسمى المخلص مخلصا حتى يفرد الله عز وجل من الأشباه والأمثال والصاحبة والأولاد ثم إرادته الله بإقامة التوحيد وجمع الهم له وبه في النفل والفرض.
He then, Imam Al-Harith Al-Muhasibi, continues by saying, as for the branches of sincerity, a person is not called sincere until they affirm Allah's distinctiveness from all likenesses and similarities, partners and children. They then seek Allah through establishing His unicity, tawheed, and focus their concern entirely for Him and by Him in their voluntary acts of worship.
وقد جاء بعض الناس من أصحاب الإمام الحداد يستشيره في بناء مسجد.
And a man came to Imam al-Haddad to seek his counsel about building a masjid.
قال إن كنت مخلصا فيه لوجه الله فيحسن بناؤه.
He said, if you are sincere in building this mosque for Allah's countenance, then it would be a good thing to do. He said, inshallah, by your blessing, Imam al-Haddad, we will be sincere. He said, I'm going to ask you something and answer me.
ما ترى لو أخذنا منك المال لهذا المسجد وأعطيناه فلان يبني ونسبناه إليه وقلنا
What if we took the money that you are going to use to build this mosque and we gave it to someone else and he builds it instead and people will say he built the mosque And that's how we build the mosque. أيطيب ذلك لبالك وحالك أم يثقل عليك؟ Would that be something okay inside, internally, for your state, or would it be something very heavy for you to bear?
قال بالصدق أجد نفسي تحب أن أشرف بنفسي على العمل وأقوم عليه.
He said, in all honesty, I would rather like to be involved in building it myself. He said, in that case, do not build the mosque because you are not sincere.
ثم يصلون بعد العشرين من التراويح ثلاثا من الوتر فكان يقوم يكمل ركعتين في الركعة الأخيرة لأنه يكمل الوتر إلى 11 ركعة فقال له الإمام الحداد أنت تقوم أمام الناس من أجل يعلموا أنك ستكمل الوتر سلم مع الإمام من تلك الركعة ثم اشفع الوتر بعد ذلك كما يقول الإمام ابن حجر وخل هذا الحركة فإن للنفس فيها تشوف وإرادة لغير الله.
So Imam al-Haddad, he had a student Ahmed Abd al-Karim al-Shajjar from al-Ahsa, and he would pray with Imam al-Haddad Taraweeh, and after they would pray 20 rak'ahs of Taraweeh together, they would pray all together, 3 rak'ahs of witr as a group. So this student of Imam al-Haddad's, he would actually get up and he would pray 11 rak'ahs of witr. So Imam al-Haddad saw him and he said, you want people to see that you pray more rak'ahs? You should pray and finish your witr with the Imam. And as Imam Ibn Hajar said, leave aside this kind of behavior of showing these actions in front of people.
وكان عادة الكريم يباشرون بصيام 6 من شوال من بعد يوم العيد مباشرة وفي اليوم 8 من شوال يكون اجتماعهم للعوادات ويجتمعون عند الإمام الحداد فخرج بعض الناس يوما
And in the city of Tarim, it is the custom of the people there that they immediately fast the 6 days of Shawwal immediately after the day of Eid. And when they finish fasting those 6 days of Shawwal, on the 8th day of Shawwal, they come together and they visit many of the ulama, and they would visit Imam al-Haddad.
وفات بعض أصحابه أن يصوم يوما من أيام الست فصام في ذاك اليوم الثامن وخرج صائما.
And one of the companions of Imam al-Haddad, he wanted to fast the 6 days of Shawwal. So he actually fasted on that 8th day, and he went to these visitations while he was fasting.
فقال له إذا خرجت في اجتماع المسلمين فاطعم معهم واجعل صومك في يوم لا يظهر صومك بينهم.
And then Imam al-Haddad said to him, if you are going to be in gatherings with other Muslims, then you should eat with them, and you should fast on a day that you're not in these large gatherings with other people and keep it hidden.
وكان يقول في تزكيته لأصحابه إن نربي الواحد من أصحابنا على الخلق الواحد سنين حتى يرسخ في قلبه.
And Imam al-Haddad would say about his students and his companions, he would say that there is one character trait, sometimes one character trait that we would inculcate in our students and it would take years for it to become present in them.
وفي نور بصيرته سمع قرأ بعض الناس كتبه فقال أيعقل أن أعمى يؤلف هذا التأليف المضبوط بأبوابه وفصوله وحسن النسق في كلامه لعل أن يكتب أحد ينسبونه إليه فجاء يزوره يريد أن يتأكد بنفسه.
So Imam al-Haddad witnessed something through the eye of his inner sight, that there was someone who was reading the books of Imam al-Haddad, and they said to themselves, this doesn't make sense that a person who is blind is able to write a book like this, that has the chapters and it is organized in such a way and it is so clear. It might be that someone else is writing it and they're attributing it to him. So I'm going to go visit him for myself.
فجلس معه في أول مجلس وداروا في المجلس قهوة.
And he sat with Imam al-Haddad in his gathering, and then they passed around coffee in the gathering.
وَسَقَطَ ذُبَابٌ فِي فِنْجَانِ الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي جَاءَ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَتَأَكَّدْ وَلَمْ يَشْعُرْ بِهِ.
And a fly came into the cup of coffee of the man who came to sort of test Imam al-Haddad, but that man didn't realize that there was a fly in his coffee. So Imam al-Haddad just turned to him and he said, take out the fly from your coffee. He said, oh Allah, this man is not blind. So he then knew that he was one of the people of true insight. So he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his bad etiquette and doubting someone like Imam al-Haddad.
وقال الإمام القشيري في رسالته الإخلاص إفراد الحق سبحانه في الطاعة بالقصد.
In the Risala of Imam al-Qushayri, he said, sincerity is to have singularity of purpose for Allah the Exalted in one's acts of obedience.
وهو أن يريد بطاعته التقرب إلى الله سبحانه دون شيء آخر.
And this means that a person seeks to draw near to Allah the Exalted through their obedience without any artificialness for the sake of people.
دون شيء آخر من تصنع عند مخلوق أو محمدة عند الناس.
Without being artificial for the sake of people or seeking commendation from them.
أو محبة مدح الخلق.
Or out of a love for praise from people.
أو معنى في من المعاني سوى التقرب به إلى الله تعالى.
Or for any other reason than seeking nearness to Allah the Exalted.
وروى بسنده عن الفضيل قال ترك العمل من أجل الناس رياء.
And the Imam also narrates with his chain of transmission back to Al-Fudayl that he said, leaving action for the sake of people is ostentation, riya.
وَالْعَمَلُ مِنْ أَجْلِ النَّاسِ شِرْكِ.
And acting or doing a deed for the sake of people is shirk. It is associating partners with Allah.
وَالْإِخْلَاصُ وَأَنْ يُعَافِيَكَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمَا.
And sincerity is when Allah protects you from both of those states.
فَلَا تَعْمَلْ لِغَيْرِهِ وَلَا تَتْرُكْ لِغَيْرِهِ.
So do not do something for other than Him and do not refrain from doing something for other than Him.
اللهم ارزقنا كمال الإخلاص لوجهك الكريم.
Oh Allah, grant us complete sincerity for Your noble countenance.
وَلِعَظَمَةِ الإخلاص كانوا يقولون في إخلاص ساعة النجاة كلها.
And out of the value and the immense preciousness of sincerity, they would say that one moment of sincerity is all of salvation.
ولذلك أحجموا وأعرضوا عن كثير من الأعمال الظاهرة التي للنفوس إليها ميل.
And for this reason, whenever their intention was not pure and sound, they would abstain from and avoid many outward acts that the nafs inclines towards. And that the nafs has an interest in and craving for. Even if this outward act was considered great by the generality of people. So they do not care about the estimation or the value of something in the eyes of people, but they care about the gaze from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what that thing has in His estimation.
فَلَا يَلْتَفِتُونَ إِلَى تِلْكَ الْأَعْمَالِ الظَّاهِرَةِ مَا لَمْ تَصِحَّ وَتَصْفُ فِيهَا النِّيَّةِ.
This is why they would not look at something or care about something even if it was good, if their intention was not purely for Allah in them.
وكان بعض الصالحين عند بعض الناس فذكر له طلبا فقال قد كنت عظيما في عيني فلما طلبت هذا الطلب سقطت من عيني فقال إن كان شيء طلب ثاني مثله أريد أن أطلبه لأسقط من عينك الثانية فإنه لا غرض لي أن أكون في عينك.
So one of the righteous, he went to a man and he had a need from this man, so he requested it from him. So the man said to him, you know, you requested this from me and you fell out of favor in my eye. And in Arabic, literally, in my eye, singular. So then the righteous man said, can I ask you for something else so that I can fall out of favor in your other eye? Because I don't want a place in your eye in the first place.
وجاء بعض المريدين من أهل الصدق إلى عند شيخ مربي وجلس بين يديه ليربيه فقال اجعل علي وظيفة أقوم بها وأتربى بها وأتزكى فإن سمحت فاجعل تنظيف أماكن الخلاء وعلي لأن ذلك أصفى لنفسي فقال له الشيخ هذه الوظيفة قد سبقك غيرك إليها وقام بها ولكن وظفك في وظيفة فوظفه في وظيفة أخرى.
So a murid, a seeker came to a sheikh who gives rearing and tarbiyah and he wanted to be sincere in the presence of the sheikh. So he asked the sheikh, can you give me a responsibility, a task that I can take on that will then be a means of purifying my inward state and a means of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't mind, could you task me with cleaning the bathrooms and the places where people respond to the call of nature? So the sheikh responded to him and said, this task was already, someone already requested this task ahead of you and is taking care of it, but I will give you another task. And every day they would notice that all of the bathrooms were very clean.
بعد أيام قال هذا التلميذ من هذا الذي سبقني وأخذ هذه الوظيفة فترقب في الليل فوجد شيخه بنفسه هو الذي يأتي وينظف هذه الأماكن.
So the student said to himself, who is this other murid who has preceded me in this request and does it with such excellence that they clean the bathrooms every day in such a good way? Who kind of beat me to it? So then he wanted to observe and see who it was. So he stayed up one night to see who it was. And he found that it was the sheikh himself who was cleaning those places.
وقد أبى ورفض الإمارة والولاية على عهد الخلفاء الراشدين كثير من الصحابة.
For this reason, many companions refused positions of leadership and governance during the era of the rightly guided caliphs.
مع أنها خلافة راشدة والقائمون فيها من الصديقين المقربين ولكن ما ارتضوا لأنفسهم أن يتولوا الولايات خوفا من الالتفات.
And even though it was an era in which the leaders were صديقين and people of the highest levels of righteousness, even in a time like that with that kind of leadership, they feared those types of positions because they were fearful of turning away and looking away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
حتى قالوا عن سيدنا عمر أنه في خلافته لا يولي أحدا من الصحابة قطرا من الأقطار إلا بالإلزام وإلا فكلهم يعتذرون إليه.
And it is said that in the caliphate of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that whenever he would assign a position of governance to any of the Sahaba, that he would actually have to force them to take those positions because everyone would run away from the responsibility.
فَكَانَ إِذَا طَلَبَ أَحَدًا أَنْ يَتَوَلَّ عَلَى مَكَانٍ مِمَّنْ يَثِقُ فِيهِمْ فَاعْتَذَرْ إِلَيْهِ يَقُلْ وَيْحَكُمْ أَتَنْجُونَ بِأَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَجْعَلُونَهَا عَلَى رَقَبَتِي عزمت عليك لتتولين.
And when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would request from one of the Sahaba to take a position of governance and they would refuse, he would say, what is wrong with you? You want to save yourselves and put all of the responsibility on the neck of Umar? I force you to take this position.
وولى سيدنا سلمان الفارسي بعض الولايات في الشام.
And Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi was given the responsibility of certain areas in the Levant, in Sham.
وَكَانَ ضَخْمَ الْجِسْمِ
And he was big in body.
فَخَرَجَ يَوْمًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ فِي أَوَّلِ أَيَّامِ وِلَايَتِهِ إِلَى السُّوقِ فَرَآهُ وَاحِدٌ مَعَهُ حَطَبٌ فِي السُّوقِ يُرِيدُ حَمَّالًا فَظَنَّ أَنَّ هَذَا حَمَّالًا مِنَ الْحَمَّالِينَ فَقَالْ تَعَالِ احْمِلْ لِي هَذَا الْحَطَبَ إِلَى بَيْتِي يُعْطِيكَ الْأُجْرَةَ فقال سيدنا سلمان مرحبا وحمل الحطب ووضعه على رأسه وأخذ يمشي.
And in the beginning of Sayyidina Salman's responsibility of governance of this area, he was big in size and he came out to the marketplace and there was a man who had firewood that he needed to carry. And when he saw Sayyidina Salman, who's the governor of that area, he didn't know who he was, but he just saw someone who was big in size. So he thought he was one of those people who carries things for others. So he said, you, can you carry this firewood for me to my house? And then I'll pay you something for it. So then Sayyidina Salman said, yes, I will do that for you. And he carried it and he put the firewood on his head and he took it to the man's house for him. And the man went in front of him to show him where his house was, and Sayyidina Salman walked behind him. So then they came upon some people on the road who knew who Sayyidina Salman was. So then they ran up to him and they said, can I carry that for you, O Amir? So then the man was amazed. He said, who is this man? And they said, this is Salman al-Farisi, the companion of the Messenger of Allah.
قال لا إله إلا الله أنا ما عرفته ظنيت واحد من الحمالين جاء يعتذر لي قال لا لا أضعه عن رأسي حتى أضعه في بيتك.
And then the man said, La ilaha illallah, I didn't know who it was. He said, I'm very sorry. I thought you were someone who carries merchandise for other people. And then Sayyidina Salman radiallahu anhu, he said, no, that's no problem at all. Then the man said, okay, let me take it from you. He said, no, I'm going to carry this all the way to your house.
وَلَمْ يَرْضَ أَنْ يُسَلِّمُ لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ الْجَمَاعَةِ وَلَا لِصَاحِبِهِ حَتَّى وَصَلِّ لِلْبَيْتِ فَوَضَعَهُ فِي الْبَيْتِ.
And Sayyidina Salman refused anyone carrying it for him and refused the man's offer of taking it himself until he reached the man's house and he put it down for him in front of his house and he refused to take any payment for it. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once given a governance.
وكان يحمل حاجته من السوق ويمشي بين الناس فإذا ازدحموا يقول أوسعوا لأميركم أوسعوا لأميركم.
And Sayyidina Abu Huraira, when he would go in the marketplace, he would carry some of his belongings and merchandise, and when he would walk among the people, he would say, make way for your Amir, make way for your Amir.
فلما انتهت مدة ولايته رجع إلى سيدنا عمر قال أسألك يا أمير المؤمنين لا توليني غيرها أبدا.
And then when he returned and his time had finished for that governance, he returned back to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and he said, I ask you, O commander of the believers, that you do not give me any governance position ever again. And he said, why is that? And he said, O commander of the believers, I initially entered into it being forced to do it, but now I've begun to love it. So do not put me in a position of destruction. And this is the way that the companions would judge and have vigilance over their nufus. And their vigilance of having sincerity for the sake of Allah's countenance. And Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Amir al-Jumahi was once given governance in Hims. May Allah bring alleviation for the people of Hims and Sham and for Yemen.
وفرج كروب المسلمين أجمعين.
And may Allah alleviate the calamities of all the Muslims.
فجاء وفد من البلد وقالوا له وقال وسألهم عن حالهم فأخبروه فقال اكتبوا لي أسماء الفقراء في بلدكم لأرسل لهم حاجة.
And when he came to the people of Hims, he asked the people there about their state. So they informed him of their state. And he asked them, he said, write down the names of the poor people here for me so that I can send something to them. And they wrote the names of the poor people there. And among the names was Sa'id bin Amr al-Jumahi, his name. And they said, he said, who is this? They said, he is our leader, our Amir. And he said, your Amir is of the people who are poor. And he said, yes, he is.
فأعطاهم للفقراء عندهم وأخذ ألفاً.
So then he distributed some money for the people who were poor, and then he took 1,000 silver coins and he put it in a pouch and he said to them, give this to Sa'id bin Amr al-Jumahi.
في بيت يقول لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
And then when they brought the pouch to him, excuse me, apparently it's someone else who is distributing, who asked to distribute the money. So when the money came to him and they gave him that pouch, the Sahabi, he said لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. He was very concerned at money reaching him.
فسمعت زوجته فقالت ما لك يا سعيد.
And his wife heard him in exclamation, so she said, "What's wrong, Sa'id?" And she said, "Were the Muslims defeated in battle?" He said, "No, it's something worse than that." And she said, "Did the commander of the believers die?" He said, "It's something even bigger than that." She said, what is it that happened to you? He said, the dunya has come to me to ruin my deen. So she said to him, get rid of it. And he said, will you help me? And she said, yes.
سنوزعها على الفقراء فجعلها في سرر هذا لفقراء الفلان هذا لأرامل الفلان هذا لأيتام بني فلان فوزعها كلها.
So then he said, this is a pouch that has come from Amir al-Mu'mineen for the poor. So let us give it to those who are poor. So they distributed it. They distributed it themselves and gave a portion for the widows, a portion for the orphans, a portion for those in need, and they gave it to all of them, and nothing was left behind.
وبعد مدة زار سيدنا عمر أمير المؤمنين حمص. فسأل أهل حمص ما تقولون في سعيد بن عامر.
So after a while, after that occurred, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, he visited the people of Hims and he asked them, what do you say about سعيد بن عامر؟
فقام بعضهم وقال نشكو ثلاث خصال فيه.
So then someone got up and said, we have three complaints about him.
فتعجب سيدنا عمر قال ماذا تشكون منه؟
So Sayyidina Umar was amazed. He said, what are your complaints about him?
قالوا يخرج إلينا بعد ما تطلع الشمس بمدة ما يخرج مبكر.
And they said, first of all, he comes out to us after a certain portion of the day has already passed. He doesn't come out early in the morning to us.
قال يا سعيد لما تفعل هذا ما تقول في هذا.
And then he said, oh Sa'id, what do you say about this? Why are you doing that?
قال يا أمير المؤمنين كان هذا سر بيني وبين ربي ولكن الآن وجب علي أن أحدثك يا أمير المؤمنين ليس لنا خادم وأنا بعد أن أصلي الضحى أخدم لأهلي وأطحن الطعام وأعجن لهم وأخبز فإذا أطعمت أهل بيتي خرجت إليهم.
He said, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, this was a secret between me and my Lord, but now I am compelled to tell you because you have asked me. The reason I come out later in the day to the people is that I serve my family. After I pray Salat al-Duha, we don't have a servant in our house who helps us, so I am the one who serves them. After I pray Duha, I'll grind the wheat, and I will put the bread together and make the dough and bake the bread for them and feed them. And once they are fed, I come out to the people. They said, so what is the second complaint? They said, we complain about him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, is that he doesn't talk to us at night. So I said, Sa'id, what do you say about this? He said, this is another secret between me and Allah.
لكن يكرهوني أن أحدثك يا أمير المؤمنين جعلت النهار لهم وجعلت الليل لربي.
He said, but I am compelled to tell you, O commander of the believers, I have made the daytime for them and the night for my Lord.
وإذا اشتغلت بهم في الليل والنهار متى أختلي بربي؟
If I'm busy with them day and night, when am I going to be alone with my Lord?
قالوا ما الثالثة.
So then Sayyidina Umar asked, what is the third complaint?
قالوا يوما في الشهر يحتجب عنا ما يخرج إلا آخر النهار.
And they said, one day each month, he does not come out to us at all except at the end of the day.
قال ما تقول في هذا يا سعيد.
So then he said, oh Sa'id, what do you say about this?
قال وهذا إذا سر بيني وبين ربي ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سأخبرك يا أمير المؤمنين ليس لي إلا هذا الثوب فإذا مر شهر يحتاج إلى تغسيل فأنا أغسله وأستتر بالفرش في البيت حتى إذا جف لبسته وخرجت إليهم آخر النهار.
He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is another secret between me and Allah, but لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Now I must tell you. He said, Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is the only garment of clothing that I have. So once a month I have to wash it and clean it. So I wash it and I stay in my house covered with my blanket until it dries up, and then I wear it again and come out to the people at the end of the day. And then Sayyidina Umar said, Alhamdulillah that I have not lost my good opinion of you. And then the people said, we have a fourth complaint. He said, what is it?
قالوا أحيانا وهو جالس بيننا يسكت يغشى عليه وما يحس بشيء ثم يعود إلى حسه.
They said sometimes he'll be sitting with us and then he'll become very quiet and he won't say anything for a while and then he'll return to speaking to us.
قال وما هذه يا سعيد؟
And then Sayyidina Umar said, what is this, O Sa'id?
قال ذكر قال إني حضرت حينما قتلوا خبيبا و ولما قتلوا خبيبا سأله أبو سفيان أتحب أن محمدا مكانك نقتله وأنت في أهلك وولدك قال والله ما أحب أن شوكة تنال رجل رسول الله في مكانه الذي هو فيه وأنا في أهلي وولدي قال فلا أتذكر هذا الموقف وأني لم أنصره إلا أخذتني غشية ثم أفيق ويعود لي حسي.
And then Sayyidina Sa'id, he said, the reason for that is I was present at the killing of Khubayb. And when Khubayb was killed, Abu Sufyan asked him before he killed him, and he said, don't you wish that Muhammad was in your place right now instead of you? And Khubayb said, I would not wish that a thorn poke his toe, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather than be in the place that I'm in right now. So he said, when I remember this event that I witnessed, I am overcome, and when I return back to my senses, I speak to them.
ولذلك أيضا حرصوا على إخفاء ما قدروا من أعمالهم الصالحة وصفاتهم الطيبة الحسنة وكتمان أحوالهم الفاضلة الشريفة.
This is why they endeavored to hide whatever they could of their righteous deeds and pure and beautiful qualities, and why they concealed their noble and dignified states.
وكان مئة بيت من الفقراء في المدينة يجدون طعامهم عند بيوتهم لا يكمل إلا وجاء مثله لا يدرون من ينفق عليهم فما عرفوه إلا لما مات علي زين العابدين ابن الحسين رضي الله عنه.
There were 100 households in Medina that were always given food, and they would find food at their doorsteps, and whenever the food was about to run out, they would find more food appear at and they didn't know who it was who was bringing the food until that person died, and that person was Ali Zain al-Abidin, the son of al-Husayn. And they knew him for two qualities. They knew it was him because of two signs, that there was a dent on his back from where he would carry all of the food on his back at night to deliver it to these homes.
فيقول له خادمه أنا أحمله عنك يقول له هل تحمل أنت أن عندي ذنوبي يوم القيامة يقول له قال فلا تحمل عني هذا.
So when he would carry this food to the people, his servant would say, let me carry it for you. And Sayyidina Ali Zain al-Abidin would say, no, are you going to carry my sins on the day of resurrection? And he said, no. He said, then don't carry this for me now.
والعلامة الثانية انقطع ذلك بموته فلم يعد شيء يحضر من الطعام عند بيوتهم.
And the second proof that it was him is that when he passed away, the food stopped coming and nobody brought food to them anymore.
ونختم بذكر دعاء له.
And we will conclude the lesson with mentioning a dua of Sayyidina Ali Zain al-Abidin.
رآه بعض الأخيار وهو ساجد عند الكعبة في الحجر.
And some of the righteous once witnessed him in a state of prostration and sujood at the Kaaba in the Hijr.
فقال رجل من آل بيت النبوة.
And they said, this is one of the people of the house of prophecy. So I want to get close to him so that I can hear the dua that he's making in his sujood. So close to him while he was weeping in his sujood. So I heard him say, your servant is at your door. Your impoverished one in need is at your door. Your weak one is at your door. The one requesting from you is at your door. So the righteous man said, I memorized that dua from him. So I never brought that hadith except when I had a need, except that it was fulfilled.
ودخل يوما وهو صغير على سيدنا جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري.
And سيدنا علي زين العابدين once met with سيدنا جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري when سيدنا علي زين العابدين was young.
فلما دخل عليه قال هذا الغلام لمن؟
When سيدنا جابر saw him and he entered upon him, he said, whose household is this young boy from?
قالوا هذا ابن الحسين.
They said this is the son of الحسين.
قال يدعى علي.
And then he said, is his name Ali?
قالوا نعم.
They said yes.
تعال إلي.
He said, come to me.
قبله وأجلسه بجانبه.
He took him and he made him sit right next to him.
قال جدك رسول الله يقرأك السلام.
He said, your grandfather, the messenger of Allah, sends salam to you.
قالوا من أين جيت بهذا يا جابر.
They said, where did you get this from, O Jabir?
قال أبوه الحسين كان على حجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو صغير.
He said his father Al-Husayn was once sitting in the lap of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was a young boy.
فقال لي إن طال بك عمر يا جابر فسيولد لولدي هذا ولد.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me, O Jabir, if you live a long life, then this son of mine will have a son of his own.
يدعى عليا.
His name is Ali.
إذا كان يوم القيامة قيل لي يقوم سيد العابدين فيقوم ولد هذا.
And when this boy on the day of resurrection he will be called out and it will be said to him, rise, O master of those of people of prostration.
قال ويولد لذا.
And that grandson will have a son.
اسمه كاسمي.
His name will be like my name.
فإن أنت أدركته يا جابر فأقرئه مني السلام.
So if you meet him, O Jabir, convey my salam to him. فَعَلِمْتُ أَنْ يَطُولُ عُمْرِي. So then Jabir said, I knew then that I was going to have a long life.
وَأَدْرَكَ مُحَمَّدَ الْبَاقِرُ وَلَدْ عَلِي زَيْنِ الْعَابِدِينَ.
And he also met Muhammad al-Baqir, the son of Ali Zayn al-Abidin.
وَبَلَّغَهُ السَّلَامُ.
And he conveyed the salam of the Prophet to him.
وَبَعْدَ أَيَّامٍ تُوفِيَ جَابِرُ بْنُ
عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. And after he conveyed the salam, a few days later, Sayyidina Jabir passed away.
جَمَعَنَا اللَّهُ بِهِمْ فِي دَارِ الْكَرَامَةِ.
May Allah gather us with them in the abode of honor.
وَوَفَّرْ حَظَّنَا مِنْهُمْ.
And grant us a great portion from them.
وَلَا قَطَعَنَا عَنْهُمْ.
And may Allah not cut us off from them.
إرتهم.
And may Allah enter us into their
وحشرنا
sphere
في زمرتهم.
And resurrect us in their people.
فيا ربي واجمعنا وأحبابا لنا.
So, O Allah, gather us and our loved
دارك
ones
الفردوس أطيب موضعهم.
In the paradise of Firdaus, in the greatest
فضلا
place.
وإحسانا ومن منك.
Out of grace and blessings and generosity
يا
from you.
ذا الجود.
O one generous one.
والفضل الأتم الأوسع.
And O one of the greatest and most perfect grace.
يا أرحم الراحمين.